you do the right thing and the profitability will come. I mean, it's all about taking care of people. If you take care of people, the profitability will come.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Gentle Art of Crushing It show, where we focus on learning and sharing with our listeners all there is to know about how to create success in our lives. This show stands on the shoulders of giants. Our mission is to empower and inspire our listeners to create the life of their dreams whilst having a blast in the process. Let's celebrate life together. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to today's episode of the Gentle Art of Crushing It podcast. My name is Derek Felch. I'm one of six hosts who bring you conversations three times every week on a variety of topics around real estate, business, and personal motivation. We have a simple goal with this podcast. It's to help you succeed in whatever target you're aiming at. We're all committed to finding the best and brightest people who aren't just talking about doing big things, but are actually taking the steps to achieve their dreams and want to help others along the way. And today I'm joined by Dave Marcinkowski. Dave's a guy that I was introduced to from a previous guest on a podcast I hosted, Josh Adrian. And Dave was born in Detroit, Michigan. He has over 30 years in the multifamily space. He's one of the founding partners of Madera Residential. And he, along with those other partners, have grown that company from one unit to now over 19,000 units. And in addition, they've ventured into other areas like property technology, financial technology, title insurance, fee-based management. Dave's kind of a big deal. And I had an opportunity to chat with him just for a few minutes. He gave us some time, and so it's a short conversation, but it really shows another opportunity or another person who is doing something with real estate that has purpose and profit. And I think it's an important thing that if you're an aspiring real estate investor, an active real estate investor, a big-time real estate investor, is what are we doing with these things we're acquiring? And is it just about us? Is it just about the things we want and we want to achieve our goals and our dreams? Or are there ways that we can impact society and address some of the issues that we're hearing talked about in the news at this time? How do we handle things like affordable housing? What are we doing? What's our responsibility? Do we have a responsibility as property owners? And so Dave and I touch on a little bit of this stuff. I just want to introduce him to you. His company really has three core values, and he mentions them in this conversation. They're Christ, their community, and constant, never-ending improvement. And I hope you find some value in it. I hope it makes you think and ask yourself that question, what could I do to make an impact on the people I'm interacting with? And how do I see residents who are living in the properties I'm providing? Dave talks about the word tenants in this conversation. Versus residents. But are there things I could do to help them achieve their goals and their dreams? And is there something we could do to help more people achieve homeownership? I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's valuable. I appreciate you listening. And with all that being said, let's go to this conversation with Dave. Well, man, thanks for being willing to spend some time with me. So I know your time is valuable. So let me ask you a couple questions. I got to your name from Josh Adrian with the Prime Company. And we were just talking about housing and what they're doing. And he said, hey, there's this guy in Houston. So this is what I know about you. May or may not be true. He said, I think you own about 3,000 units. Or you own and manage 3,000 units. You're passionate about home ownership, and you bought a bank.
Okay.
Any of those accurate, or is those all vicious rumors that Josh was trying to start about?
No. There's definitely some kernels of truth in there. So I'm actually in Lubbock, Texas. So we own about 12,000 units today. Almost all DFW, Houston. We have one deal in Austin. And then do own a digital bank. We also own a prop tech company and a title insurance company. And we really have vertically, I mean, if you look at it, the hub is real estate, particularly multifamily. But then we have all these verticals out of that make up all the companies we're doing. So our prop tech company is a company called Quext with an X, Q-U-E-X-T. And then our digital bank, we actually own a minority interest in a charter bank out here in West Texas. But then we own the majority of three digital banks. We have one called Viva First, which is basically essentially chain. You can do everything but write a check from for the Latino community. We have one called the Rent Plus, which is geared towards renters, particularly renters by necessity. We learned that there's a real distrust for renters and the renters by necessity, check by check people and banks. And then we have a third digital bank, Fan Inc., that is geared towards student athletes who have NIL deals.
Wow. So how do you get started, Dave? Like how do you go from I wake up one day and think I should get into real estate to 12,000 units? If you could summarize that in like 3 minutes, how would you say that story happens?
Well, people very rarely fall into real estate. They don't like go into real estate. It just sort of happens to them. And once they're in it, they stay in it forever. I'm that guy. I graduated from college and long story, I need a job. I ended up going to work for a temp agency and got set up as a bookkeeper at a family run multifamily shop and then worked my way up through a couple different companies before I got to down here in Texas and founded Madera. I was an operations junkie. So I was always trying to figure out how to be better at operations and got really frustrated with the technology in our space. And so I think it was like 2016. I said, let's take some of the blessings we've had from real estate and let's go out and solve some problems. And so we started to do that. Through that process, we needed a payment rails. And so we were, again, blessed to be able to get connected with some guys who had this banking relationship we were able to make a significant investment in, and then boom, you're in the banking business. And the same thing with title insurance, the same thing, we have a captive insurance company. I mean, you look at it, and it's a journey, and it's just one step leads to the next step, leads to the next step. Always, though, we're a value-based company. Our three values as an organization is Christ. We're the owners of our company are Christians, and we try to run it from that perspective. The second is community. We're all about relationships. So you see us investing in companies and partnering with groups. And, we have an investor community. We have an employee community. We have the communities we touch with our apartments. And the third one is an acronym called CNI, Constant Never-Ending Improvement. Always trying to be a little bit better today than we were yesterday. And with that comes growth. And so as we are building on what we're currently doing, this foundation and doors open, we kind of step through those doors and we kind of build out our ecosystem and create the platforms that we have today.
Now, is home ownership something that you have is that something that's a high priority for tenants or how and why does that look like for you?
Well, I mean, to start with, multifamily guy, and you would think that home ownership would be viewed as the competition. We don't want people to move into homes, which is really a very narrow-minded look at the world, if that's really what you're thinking about. That's really what our industry has been about. For me, it was, okay, how do we help people who rent get into home ownership? And so what we did is with this Rent Plus card, you move into one of our apartments. So take a step back. We cut our teeth on really old assets, workforce housing, renters by necessity. And we noticed that about 60%, over 60% of our payments every month came in the form of a money order. We're like, okay, why is everybody paying us with a money order? And so we went out and started asking the questions, and the answers we got just astounded us. There was this general lack of trust with the banks. They felt the general sense was the banks are geared toward rich. They're not geared towards us, the products that they have. But yet most of them had digital bank accounts like Chime and things anyways, but they felt that the best way to pay, the most secure way for them to make a payment was through a money order. And I was like, I was listening to them, and at the end of the day, they had that perforated copy that says it was made out to the property, the landlord. And I could say, look, I paid my rent. And you started to talk about that, and you really got this general understanding that they didn't understand what was possible. Like to them, taking a bunch of cash into a Walmart or a 7-Eleven to pay $7-$8, $3 to $8 money order was safer than just having it drafted out of your account. And so we created this product where if you get approved to live in an apartment, you get approved for a bank account. You just have to opt in for it. You get a debit card at first. It can work into credit. But what we can do with that now is we can report your rent and your utilities on your credit report. We can help you improve your credit to get to home ownership. One of the things you can do in our app is you can say, one of my goals is to get to home ownership, and we'll actually start to help you get to that point where you can do it. We get by the resident experience. You pay your rent on time. You refer somebody. You're just generally a good neighbor. We're going to give you money into a savings account in your name that you get that you could theoretically use. You could pay off debt. It could help you, though, with a down payment to a home. Can we then connect you with realtors and share in the commission, the realtor getting, where some of that goes back to the resident in the form of a marketing, in terms of marketing, which had them potentially get a reduced cost in the purchase of a home? Can we connect you with a builder or someone who's doing housing that you qualify for? Can we show you when you qualify to move into housing? So we're really trying to build that bridge from rentership to home ownership. That's kind of massively transformational purposes we're working right now.
That's really cool. What percentage would you say take advantage of that on the home ownership side? Like, if you had to put a number, like,
yeah, it's really early in the journey for us. So we have about, we launched this product about, what is this? This is May. So we launched it right around the first of the year. What's been interesting is with the banking side, about 5% of the people who are marketed to this card in the renter's world are signing up for it. We were told going into it to be about 2 to 2.5% would be amazing, and we're seeing double that. So we know there's a need that we're meeting. We have about 1,500 customers that are on it and that are using it the way that it's meant to be used. How many of those convert into home ownership? It's just too early to say, but you know, if it's even one, it's worth the journey. And I do think we're going to help people improve credit scores. We're going to help people save. We're going to help people pay off debt, which if that's what they do and it's not home ownership, that's awesome too.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by people who are interested in helping tenants and viewing the need that, I like your phrase renters by necessity, that I think a lot of people want to own a home and don't have that opportunity because of lack of understanding how the system works. And I sometimes feel like maybe as real estate investors, we view the tenants as a nuisance more than as people who have lives and, you know, have their own dreams as much as we do.
It's funny, like you use tenant. Like I try desperately not to use that word because tenants live in tenements and it doesn't really have that personal. Like I said, we have residents who live in a community, and it's just words, but that's, you know, that's one way of looking at it. So another thing that we did with our technology company is we were one of the first to come out and bring high-speed internet and a video solution in a bulk format to apartments. So we partnered with Charter Communications Spectrum in Dallas. And we launched it at about 7,400 units back in between 2017 and the first quarter of 2018, 26 different apartment communities. So what we learned was, and you can go Google this, people today are paying somewhere between $175 and $225 per month for their high-speed internet and their video solutions. We were able to bulk in an apartment community where to a property owner for about $50 a month all in, we can give 400 megabytes download speed, 40 megabytes upload speed, very, very high bandwidth, plus over 200 digital channels at the cost again to the property owner of like $50. They can then turn around and charge it back to their residents at, we charge it at Madera Properties at $89. And we're paying for 100% of the units. We don't have 100% occupancy. So it comes out to around $30 per month of revenue to me as a property owner that I'm getting that I wasn't getting before, which is huge value to someone like me. But the more importantly is we're cutting the monthly cost to our residents for what they're paying for something that we think they need. We think that the fourth utility is internet. Videos, you can argue about video, but it would shock you to know the difference between just giving video, adding video to a broadband package. It's really not that much difference. And so we chose to go down that road. We are doing some internet only solutions right now. But then COVID, we did this back in 2017, 2018. So then COVID hits. A couple of things we learned. Early on in the process, we were afraid people wanted choice. They wanted to cut the cord and do all these things. What we learned was people really want convenience over choice. They want to, like, with our solution, it's on when you move in. There's no separate applications. There's no deposits. You get approved to live in an apartment. You get all these things, and the day you move in, you have to take time off work to get someone to come and plug it in. You know, and it's we built it across the whole community, which is a far more efficient product. We don't have the outages and things that others do. So then COVID hits, and it was game changing for us because now everybody's at home. Everybody's needing to use these products. We have some videos. We were out videoing about Madeira. Like, what do you like about Madeira? And I remember there was a lady who sat there and said, well, and she started to cry. She goes, it's your video and internet package that I get. I couldn't afford to do it on my own, but I can afford how much it costs the way that you did it. And then COVID hits. And now I have to go through the second grade again because my daughter is a second grader. And if I had not returned a box with my old cable provider, I'm not sure I would have had internet. I wouldn't have known what to do in that scenario. I'd have been driving to like a McDonald's and trying to use their Wi-Fi in the parking lot to help my daughter go through and pass the second grade during COVID. And we had story after story after story. We started to like to hear about that. And that's, you know, that's convenience in a way, but it's also bringing down that cost to make it affordable for them. You do the right thing and the profitability will come. I mean, it's all about taking care of people. If you take care of people, the profitability will come.
Maybe you just answered the next question I was going to ask because you're that good, Dave. But if you were talking to people and that maybe are on a smaller scale, not everyone's going to own, you know, I can see people saying, well, I don't own 12,000 units. If I did, I could do that. But like if someone owns 5 units or 10 or 15 or whatever, what would you tell them they could? Like what do you wish they understood that you get from a people resident standpoint?
Well, I think you can't just look at it as an investment. You got to look at it as that's some place where people actually live and you're trying to help those people out. You're trying to give them some, you're trying to create value for them. And anything you can do that goes beyond just giving them 4 walls and a roof, just giving them shelter is important. So you can do things really cost effectively today. Like you can report your rent and utilities as a credit line very inexpensively. You could even probably charge that expense of a few dollars back to the resident if you wanted to, but that's going to help your resident while they're living in your property improve their credit score. You can do things, I'm trying to think what I would do for a smaller property owner, but ultimately, I think you got to look beyond just the shelter concept. You got to look at it as a lifestyle. You're trying to help people's lifestyle out. So whatever you can do to create value in there is also going to create value for you. That person's probably going to stay there longer. They're probably going to be willing to pay you a little bit more rent. They're probably going to refer their friends to your other units. And you'll do great. If you treat them like it's a piece of real estate that somebody has to live in and they're a nuisance, then yeah, you got a problem. And that model doesn't work. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who look at investing in real estate like, you know, how hard could it be? All my friends are making all this money. All I have to do is just pay the electric bill and go on collect the rent every month. This is a piece of cake. It's not that easy. At the same time, that's why it's so important to have residents who are on your side. As soon as you create that conflict, then you're going to have situations where they're not paying your rent. They're not doing those kinds of things. You've got to find people who are going to meet your criteria to move into a property. You can't just take any heartbeat off the street to live in there. You want to look for people who are going to take care of your property, who are going to pay their time. And then when they do, you need to reward them. You don't need to take advantage of them because you want them to stay there longer and longer and longer and longer and eventually pay more rent.
Can other property owners use your banking systems or is it strictly just for your residents?
Yeah. Yeah. It's called the Rent Plus card. You can Google it. We're actually partnered with a company called Rent Dynamics out of Utah. Rent Dynamics is taking a lot of the marketing. They're the ones who do our credit reporting piece, but it's really easy to get into and be a part of that program. That's the other thing. So our parent company for Quax, which is our technology company, it's EDST. And EDST stands for Everyone Deserves Smart Technology. And what I mean by that is like even like for us, you know, in our industry, you read about real estate, multifamily, and you get focused on it's about core assets, these beautiful, gorgeous, very expensive apartments. Oh, they're doing this and they're doing this and they're doing this. we cut our teeth. We have a lot of core assets now, but we cut our teeth, I think I said, on workforcing. We think that the people who have those A properties are paying big rents. They shouldn't have that many more amenities than someone who lives in an older asset. A lot of these things, if done correctly, aren't that expensive. So like we have a smart thermostat hub that can control the smart devices inside of an apartment. That works if you have 5 units or if you have 500 units. We have a digital leasing agent that we created, a synthetic person. It's bilingual, speaks English and Spanish. Like I'm talking to you right now. You can interact with our leasing agent and actually lease an apartment. Go through the whole process, pick your apartment and lease it. 24/7, doesn't get COVID, speaks English and Spanish. That's available to the small owner as well as available to the big owner. Everything we're doing is meant to cover the whole, anybody who's living in rental housing, not just the really nice assets.
Yeah. What's next? I want to be respectful of your time. What's next for you? What are you excited about? What's on the horizon?
You know, this is a tough year, and I've got a little bit of time, so we can go over a few minutes if you want to. But 2023 is going to be a rough year. The rising interest rate environment. You know, we're still have residual things around COVID. You know, especially as we lifted the federal emergency, but there's you add it all together, and 2023 is going to be tough. This looks a lot like 2008 to me, early 2009. Actually, 2009 is what this looks like right now. So this is a good time to kind of sit tight and just kind of do the right thing and kind of weather the storm. On the other side of the storm, though, there's going to be a lot of opportunity. And positioning ourselves to be there to take advantage of that, I think, is the key. Not getting too far over your skis, not doing anything stupid now to where you're going to be digging out longer than you need to. You really need to just stay focused on where we're at. And I don't think it's going to take very long. I think 2024 is going to be an excellent year, and I think 25 and 26 are going to be even better if you were to ask me. So for us, you know, our focus is maintaining the assets we have and using this time, which tends to be a little slower when you're not having a lot of acquisitions and dispositions, to be able to focus on making ourselves better. I couldn't be more excited about our technology platform that we built, both on the banking side and the fintech side, as well as our prop tech stuff. We've been working on this now on the prop tech side for like 5 or 6 years, you know, and it's like this little bitty snowball going down the hill. It's now picked up speed and it's really going strong. So I have a lot of excitement around that. And then this banking platform, I didn't realize what we had when we first got into it. The fact that we're having the kind of penetrations that we're having early on in the process and that people are really seeing the value in what we're doing, you know, I love it. Because, again, we're doing what I think is the right thing. We're helping people out. Helping them save money. We're helping them improve their credit. We're helping them hopefully getting into home ownership or pay off debt or something. You know, at the same time, we can take, you know, we can be profitable in that and we can make money off of that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you just as a person of faith and how you find that balance between purpose and profit, because I think there's a lot of people who would share a faith background that want to do that, but they tend to emphasize one or the other. And I mean, obviously you're dealing with people and at times hard decisions have to be made and there's consequences. And, you know, sometimes you have to evict someone that doesn't follow what you both agreed to. Like, how have you found to balance that in your life between those two things?
You know, it all comes down to truth and honesty. I think, you know, you hate ever evicting anybody for anything. At the same time, we take great pride in making sure when we approve somebody that they qualify to be in that apartment. And that means that to the best of our knowledge, that person should be able to afford to live in that unit. We have a process by which we follow like everybody else does. It isn't like there's a Madeira way of doing it. The whole industry follows the process by which it takes to evict somebody. It gives somebody a lot of time in order to try to remedy that, especially this post-COVID time. It's really easy to get get extensions right now to be able to buy yourself more time. You know, we have to be profitable, otherwise we won't be in business. We have to take care of, you know, because it goes beyond just the renter. It goes into all the people who work for us. It goes into our investors. If we don't run it right, running it right just means being honest and saying, okay, if you can't pay your rent, this is what's going to happen. You know, looking at it from other perspectives, you know, go back to what I said earlier, you know, just doing the right thing. You know, at the end of the day, just when it comes down to it, you know, when you These are values. So these are what our North Star is when it comes to making a decision. Are we honoring our values in those decisions that we make? Are we showing that, you know, we are a company of faith and there's meaning around that? You know, we're a community. We're trying to help people. We're trying to do the right thing as it relates to people. And are we trying to be better today than we were yesterday? If we can check those boxes, it's really not that hard. I think people overthink it too much, to be honest with you.
If people want to learn more about you and what your company's doing, is there a website? Is there a social media channel? Anything that would you like to direct people to?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to my LinkedIn or site and Dave Marcinkowski. There's not a lot of Dave Marcinkowskis in the world, so it's easy to find me from there. We do have the MadeiraResidential.com, OneQuex.com, VivaFirst.com. You know, I'm pretty sure you can get to any of the other ones from each site has direct links to the others. But yeah, I mean, please, you know, how you and I met, you reached out to me via LinkedIn. We had a conversation. That's kind of my social media channel. I'm not on Facebook. I have a Facebook account, but it's mainly for, you know, for my wife to be able to post things and match me up on.
I totally understand. Well, I appreciate your time, Dave. I'll go ahead and stop here. And then, thanks for doing this, man. And I appreciate what you're doing for residents.
I really feel like this guy's doing some amazing things. I've gathered all the important links from today's show in the handy show notes you'll find below, and make sure to check them out. Here's what I'd ask. If you found any value in our content, we'd love your help in spreading the word. Could you do us a favor and share it with someone else? Your support means the world to us, and together we can inspire others to achieve greatness. And here's an interesting fact. Nearly 98% of our listeners have not subscribed yet. We'd be incredibly grateful if you take a moment to hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're using. It's a small action that goes a long way in helping support what we're trying to do. Thanks again for tuning in, and guess what? We've got new podcasts coming out 3 times a week, so don't just be a passive listener. Let's embrace the work we're meant to do and make each day truly amazing.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. It was an amazing episode. We know we sure learned a lot, and we hope you did as well. We want to take a second and thank you so much for viewing or listening to this episode. And please just know that we only ask for one favor, and that is to make this life magnificent. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.